I'm so glad that you're here today as we continue in on our series that we've started called Discipled. And if that's a new word to you or one that you've heard tossed around in church, you know, it's kind of like one of those Christianese type words that we Christians use, but there are many that may not know what it is. But it simply means to be a student or a learner. A student or a learner. If you want to take it a step further, Christian discipleship connotes a relationship with a master teacher, following them and adhering to their way of life. And for those who follow Jesus, the call to discipleship is twofold. It's about leaving behind what you know, and it's also about embracing the incredible rewards that come from following Jesus. It's about leaving everything behind, walking away from your proverbial fishing nets, if you will, and embracing a new purpose and call. Now, this can be an overwhelming prospect for folks, but as we heard last week, the demands of following Christ will cost you everything. It will cost you everything. But you gain far more than you give up. You give up dirt for diamonds, as Steve Lawson said. Now, the truth of the matter is that you gain far more than diamonds in this exchange. You get Jesus. Amen? That's more than gold or silver, more than diamonds. I mean, how valuable is that? Right? And as we'll see today, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. He's the good shepherd. Amen? Now, Dane Ortlund says, if we are asked to say only one thing about who Jesus is, we would be honoring Jesus' own teaching if our answer is gentle and lowly. This is who he is. This is who he is at the core. And we've got so much to learn from him. To begin, let's take a moment and turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. And we're going to start in verse 28. It's not real long. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. But there's a lot here. Okay? Just like last week. Not a lot, not real long, but there's a lot. Okay? Let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's word. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Father God, Lord, I thank you for your word, Lord, and the power that it gives, Father God, as we have read this morning, Lord. Lord, I ask, Father God, that you would speak powerfully through me, Lord. Lord, may it be your words entering the hearts here this morning, Father God, that lives would be changed, Father God. Lord, and we give you praise and glory for everything that is said and done this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, our passage here begins with a familiar invitation from Jesus. He invites those listening to come. To come. Just as he did when he called, if you'll remember last week, when he called Peter, Andrew, James, and John, right? Come. Now, Matthew 4, last week, we were there, and that's what Jesus was saying, come and follow me. Leave everything else behind. Leave your fishing nets there and come follow me. And that's what they did. They didn't give any excuses, remember? Oh, wait a second, I got to go say goodbye to my wife. I need to go do this, right? They dropped their nets and they left. They followed Jesus. And this one fact is so important that we need to stop and recognize that the call to discipleship is an invitational one. And what does it mean that Jesus invites us to follow him as opposed to demanding it? What does it say about him that he's not a king of coercion, but one of invitation? This aspect of discipleship is a central theme in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus says, come to me, he's extending a hand. He's extending a hand. Remember when he said, let the little children come to me? You know, when I read that passage every time, I see Jesus like this. Let them come to me. He's offering an invitation to discipleship, to a life of following him, learning from him, and finding rest in him. Now, in the words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, discipleship is not an offer that man makes to Christ, but an invitation that Christ makes to us. We are called to walk with him, to learn from him, to share in his mission and purpose. Now, this is the nature of Jesus' yoke. He welcomes others to walk with him, to learn from him, and to share in his mission and purpose. As seen in the Gospels, this invitation is open to everyone. It's open to everyone. Remember, this is an invitation. This is not coercion. An invitation. And it's open to everyone. Jesus doesn't specify a particular group of people. He doesn't say, oh, I just want these over in this neighborhood, or I just want these over in that school over there. No, it's open to everyone. He doesn't say, come to me, all who are righteous and holy. No, he doesn't say, come to me, all who volunteer in the children's ministry and tithe regularly. No, he doesn't say that. In fact, in the parable of the wedding banquet, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come. But they refused. Then he said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find, he said. Invite anyone you find. That's the heart of the kingdom. Invite anyone you find. The invitation is also a personal one. Jesus says, come to me. He doesn't say, come to a set of rules, or come to a religious system, or come to a church. He says, come to me. This underscores the relational nature of discipleship. It's not about adhering to a set of doctrines or performing a set of rituals. It's about coming to Jesus, knowing him and following him. Discipleship is about relationship, and it's one where you're known, you're seen, and you're loved. Finally, we read that his invitation is to all you who are weary and burdened. Have you ever been weary and burdened? Huh? This is significant here. It means that no matter who we are, no matter what we may have done, no matter how weary or burdened we are, we're invited. Now, I don't know about you, but man, what an invitation. Now, you remember back in elementary school or, during those times, and you'd go to school and people would get invited to birthday parties and stuff like that. You know, how many times were you not invited? Because why? Why? Because they didn't like you, probably, or you weren't their friend, or whatever, right? I remember having birthday parties. One of my first birthday parties when I moved to my dad's house and his new wife, my stepmom, and I was able to have a birthday party at my mom's work. She worked for Pancake House. It wasn't IHOP. It was better than IHOP, actually. And it was in LA. And it was great because I got to invite anybody out and everyone I wanted to. So we sent out invitations. And I had a huge party there. In fact, we took up the whole banquet room in the back. It was a large banquet room, and it was awesome. I mean, some of the kids I knew, some of the kids I didn't know, but man, I wanted to invite everybody to my party. You know, that's what Jesus did. He wants to invite everybody. Everybody. We're all welcome. We're wanted. This is the radical inclusivity of Jesus' invitation to discipleship. Let me ask you this question. Are you weary? Are you weary? Maybe the question isn't, are you weary, but should be, how weary are you? Right? How beat up and tired are you from all the striving and seeking? How nice does a little rest sound? Jesus knows, he sees, and he understands. In fact, just before our passage in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, we read in verse 27 that all things have been committed to me, Jesus is speaking, okay, by the Father. All things have been committed to me by the Father. In our context today, this means that all the weary followers, all of us have been committed to Jesus. And as we just discussed, what does he do with them? What does he do with us? He invites us into a relationship of discipleship with him. He is gracious and says, I will give you rest. He doesn't say, earn your rest or work for your rest. He says, I will give you rest. This is grace. This is grace. It's unmerited favor. It's a gift, and it's at the heart of Jesus' invitation to discipleship. See, we don't come to Jesus to earn anything. We come to receive. We come to receive his grace, his love, his mercy, his rest. We come to him. Then in all these ways, Jesus' invitation to discipleship is a beautiful and profound call to a life of faith, hope, love, and rest. It's a call to come to him, to learn from him, to find rest in him. It's a call to surrender. I don't know if many of you know what this means, but when people are worshiping, they're surrendering. I'm all yours, Jesus. I'm all yours. You see, many of us have these heavy loads that we're carrying. And when we come in to worship, throw up your hands. Lord, take this from me. I surrender this to you. And when we surrender, we surrender our heavy loads and take on his yoke, which, as he promised, is easy and light, right? That's what he says. Now, it's not another heavy burden that we need to saddle onto an already overloaded pack. No. In the early 19th century, there lived a man named John Newton. Anybody ever hear of John Newton? No, I won't tell you who John Newton was. He exemplified the transformative power of accepting Jesus' invitation to discipleship. Newton's story is one of profound change and redemption that resonates with the themes of gentleness and lowliness in the teachings of Jesus. John Newton was born in 1725 in London. And his early life was marked by rebellion, debauchery, and a career as a slave trader. His actions were far from what we would associate with a disciple of Christ. However, in 1748, while aboard a slave ship during a violent storm, Newton experienced a profound spiritual awakening. He cried out to God for mercy And miraculously, the ship was spared. This moment marked the beginning of his journey of discipleship. After this transformative experience, John Newton abandoned his life as a slave trader and pursued a life dedicated to serving Christ. He became a minister and is best known for writing the beloved hymn, Amazing Grace. And in his hymn, he speaks of the wretchedness he once was and how Jesus' grace had saved him. This transformation showcases the power of accepting Jesus' invitation to discipleship. Throughout his life, Newton saw Jesus as gentle and lowly, mirroring the qualities he himself had come to embrace. He understood the profound mercy and compassion of Christ, qualities that inspired him to be gentle and lowly in his dealings with others. He dedicated his life to fighting against the evils of the slave trade, speaking out against the very industry in which he had once been deeply. Now, as we transition to the next point in our sermon, let us consider the nature of Jesus' yoke. Jesus, just as John Newton experienced the transformative power of following Christ, we too can find rest and transformation in accepting Jesus' yoke. The concept of a yoke symbolizes a partnership and shared burden. When we take on the yoke of Jesus, we're aligning ourselves with his teachings, his gentleness, and his lowliness. We're allowing him to guide us and share our burdens, making our life's journey more manageable and meaningful. So as we delve deeper into the nature of Jesus' yoke, let us remember John Newton's remarkable story and how his acceptance of Jesus' invitation to discipleship transformed not only his own life, but also the lives of countless others through the power of God's grace and the yoke of Christ. Now, when Jesus speaks of his yoke being easy and his burden being light, he's using a metaphor that his audience would have readily understood. In the agricultural society of his time, a yoke was a wooden beam normally between a pair of oxen. It's a wooden bar that came across, and it had a couple of metal things that came up and was attached to it. And so, it was either oxen or other animals that were yoked together to pull a heavy load when they were working together. Now, in this context, Jesus is inviting us to join him in his work. To join him in his work. To walk alongside him, sharing in his mission and his purpose. The life he calls us to may not be free of challenges or hardship. I challenge you, show me in the Bible where it says it's easy, that he guarantees it's going to be, there's not going to be any hardships, there's not going to be any, okay? It may not be free of those things. We all have challenges, don't we? Or are you guys free of challenges? Let me know, because I want to know the secret. All right? See, it is a life where burdens are shared and therefore lighter. We're not alone in our struggles. We're not alone. Like I said, everybody has struggles. Jesus is with us, though. Sometimes we forget that, don't we? He's right there saying, you know, a lot of times I feel like I'm getting hit upside the head with this, you know, the book. I'm right here. Hello? Anybody home? I told you, I don't know how many times I've told you guys this story, but, it, you know, losing things, losing my keys, losing, you know, where I put something. As we get older, I think sometimes that happens more often. At least it does with me. But stopping everything caregiver at the daycare in Nikiski where I worked, this one lady, help me, and Miss Kalita, she was a gem. She is a gem. She's still there. You know, she said, Brad, stop. Stop for a second. Let's pray and ask Jesus. I was like, okay. We stopped and prayed. It wasn't long after that I found my keys. You know, that's a simple thing. That's an easy thing. I mean, it's not like a all-out emergency, you know, but there are things in our life that we struggle with. A lot of these things are, you know, we find hard. They're burdensome. But Jesus is with us. He's sharing our burdens, giving us the strength to overcome. If we'll recognize, he's right there. He's right there. This is the nature of partnering with Jesus and being part of a community where we carry one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2. Okay. His yoke is not one of oppression. He doesn't have his thumb on us doing this. But he says he's gracious to us. His grace comes out. He says, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. We just need to recognize that and know that he is there to take our burdens. So his yoke is not one of oppression or coercion, but rather one of grace, of love, and freedom. It's a yoke that brings us into relationship with him, where we learn from him and grow into our understanding and love for God. It's a yoke that aligns our hearts with his, that guides our steps according to his will. See, it's not our will, guys. A lot of times, that's where we come into problems and makes things a lot harder. It's coming into alignment with his will. And that empowers us to live a life of purpose and meaning. Ultimately, as we take on his yoke, were not left unchanged. We are molded, we are shaped and transformed into his likeness. That's what happens when you journey so close to another. That's what happens in close proximity and relationship. You begin to see the world through his eyes, to love as he loves, and to serve as he serves. His yoke is not a burden, but a tool of transformation. And as we walk with him, we find that his yoke fits us perfectly. It fits us perfectly, enabling us to fulfill our God-given purpose with joy and ease. He's a good shepherd, and he knows his flock. Let's turn to John chapter 10, verse 11. John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. In the NIV, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus has traded his life for ours, and he's invited us to come. His invitation is one of relationship, transformation, and purpose. It's a yoke that is easy and light. Not because the work is easy, but because we are doing it in partnership with him. Empowered by his grace and his love. As Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Amen? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. His invitation goes out to each one of us, every one of us. Every worry and burdened soul here today, come, he says, and find rest. Come and learn. He is gentle and lowly, kind and full of grace. Now, learning from Jesus is a multi-step process. First, we respond to the invitation. Second, we admit that we're overburdened and needy. And third, we accept his yoke. We hitch our lives to his. And we live in tandem with the Savior of mankind. We need to pray. We need to read the Word. And of course, be a part of a church community. Amen? And we need to serve others. These are all the ways we learn from and walk with Jesus. See, as I read God's word, as I study how Jesus ministered to others, he never stayed in the synagogue, did he? He didn't stay in the synagogue and minister, you know, from there. No, he went out to where the people are. He went out into the communities. He went out and reached others, ministered to others, healed others, prayed with others. That's what he did. And as a Christian, Christ follower, right? That's what we're to do. To be in the community. Tristan, could you please put up our mission statement? And then I'll ask for the vision statement. So our mission here at North Pole Church of the Nazarene is to love God, love others, speak biblical truth, and develop servants for Jesus Christ. And then, by doing that, we see our vision accomplished. To see our city awakened to and transformed by the love of Jesus. We need to be in the community. We need to be serving others in the community. That's why some of these things that we're doing right now, with putting food in the youth pantry at the You Are Not Alone wall, bringing those food items, we're doing it for 1 week a month, the third week in the month. Getting out there and doing that, being a part of the community and serving. Now, coming up this Halloween, we're not doing anything here in the church. No, we're going out into the community to the Aurora Fun Center, who is having a Halloween gathering, whatever you want to call it. But there's going to be kids coming through there. What a way to minister to the kids. Did I just get candy and we're going to hand out just candy? No. I've got tracks for the kids. I've got they are books that lead kids to Christ, that talk about Jesus. They're just little books like that, and they're real thin. And they help lead youth. They're for the youth. So teenagers, middle school, high school, to Jesus. What a way to minister, to reach others for Jesus in the community. You see, I get tired of hearing everybody's complaints. Oh, the church does this. I've been hurt by the church. I've been da-da-da-da. You know why? And I'm not going to say every church, but I'm going to say a good portion of them are not in the community. They're in the building. We need to be out there reaching others for Jesus. Amen? We need to be Christ-like. Christ followers. We need to reach others as Christ reached others. Go into the community where the people are at. They're not here, are they? Nope. They're not. So, we're going to go ahead and end this with prayer. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today with grateful hearts, thankful for the opportunity to gather as a church family and delve into the profound message of discipleship. We thank you for the invitation to be learners, to be students of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we reflect on the words shared today, we are reminded of the incredible grace and love that Jesus extends to each of us through his invitation. He invites us to leave behind our burdens and find rest in him. He calls us to a relationship, a partnership, and a life of purpose. Lord, help us to respond to this invitation with open hearts and willing spirits. We admit that we are often weary and burdened, and we acknowledge our need for the rest that only Jesus can provide. We also acknowledge that learning from Jesus is a lifelong journey, one that requires dedication and a willingness to take on his yoke. We pray for the strength to walk alongside him, to align our hearts with his, and to be transformed into his likeness. We are grateful for the image of Jesus as the Good Shepherd who laid down his life for us. May we in turn lay down our lives in service to him and to others. Lord, help us to remember the words of Dane Ortlund, that we could say only one thing about who Jesus is, and it would be gentle and lowly. May we seek to embody these qualities in our own lives as we follow our Savior. And as we go forth from this place, may we continue to respond to the call of discipleship, walking in the footsteps of our Lord and carrying his yoke with joy and purpose. We ask for your guidance and strength in this journey. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen.